So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you, Wrestling Weekly. Am I, like, loud enough tonight, or can you hear me well?
I can't speak for everybody else, but I can hear you just fine.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it's not been too terribly a week full of news as far as wrestling's concerned.
Well, I stumbled on something today, and we're maybe a couple hours behind the Observer, but Dave and I compared notes. He checked in with me to be sure that the authenticity of what he'd heard. But we'll start with that. I will say it's scoop as far as internet radio anyway. Bobby Eaton had a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
On August the 30th. And why no one has found out about this before now is totally, you know, the way rumors and news flies around this business, I have no earthly idea. To quickly bring you up to date on that, I opened an email. I'm an early riser, and I'm up before the sun. And, get on the computer and do some of my work, write my column, so forth. Anyway, opened email saying that, Bobby had a heart attack. I went to the major sites, and I saw no record of anything. So anyway, I was able to talk to Dennis Condrey later this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby did have a heart attack Monday the 30th in Kingsport, Tennessee. Now, as of this morning, how much longer he'll be in the hospital there, I have no idea.
You mean Thursday the 30th?
No, Thursday wasn't the 30th. Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, as a week goes past Monday, what would that have been?
That would have been...
I think I was looking at the wrong calendar. What, honey? The 21st?
28th.
Huh?
28th.
28th?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, well, the 28th then. He was, as of this morning, in a hospital in Kingsport. Now, before everybody starts emailing or writing Kingsport, I'm not sure there's more than one up there. He was in ICU. For several days, David heard that they put a stent in. Dennis did not mention that. I don't know that for sure. But possibility that he will be out of the hospital today or tomorrow. Now, where this puts him in terms of his wrestling career, I have no earthly idea. What I would say, though, is aside from being one of the best damn workers in the business, in his prime, he was just a super guy.
Yeah.
He is a super guy. I'm not going to say it like that. He is a super guy, and I think everybody should say a little prayer for Bobby. He's one of the good guys. I don't know that anybody's ever seen bad about him, and there's nothing you can say.
Right, absolutely.
Know? But 49 years old.
It sounds like he's going to be okay, though, if he's going to go on tomorrow.
Yeah,
the day after.
I'm hoping so, yeah. I can't substantiate this, but he possibly had a stent put in, which I don't know that for sure. But anyway, that did happen. I'm just so amazed that it's taken this long to come out.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have thought the promoter, whoever he was wrestling for, whatever was going on in that situation, someone would have reported it.
Yeah.
You know, so when I got the email and then started looking at sites, I thought, well, the guy that sent me the email, I wrote back to him. I said, do you realize this could be a rumor? I says, no, nobody's got any news up on this whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But he had heard it was just this past Saturday night. But Dennis told me it was actually a week ago Monday. So.
Wow.
So anyway, I wish it were good breaking news, but it's certainly not. And my, you know, our best out to Bobby, who was, like I say, one hell of a guy, and it was a tremendous hand, and hope he gets well quick, and you know, moves on with his life. And well, of course, you know, when we had Joe Hamilton on, he was talking about Deep South going on MAV TV.
Yes.
And at that point, there had been talk of Marvin Ward's TNT promotion out of Virginia being part of that. And then last week, the announcement was made that the Ward's operation was not going to do that.
Right.
Although I hear that they have, and for the life of me, I've been involved in wrestling television since 1970 in some capacity or another, producer, host, you know, working with procuring stations and setting up programming and so forth and so on. So I have a little inside knowledge to this, too. Why they have been talking to three different... I understand why they're talking to Jody, because Deep South obviously gets, you know, the top minor league talent that WWE has signed, plus, as you know, I had on my TV or OVW had on their TV, you get some of the stars occasionally.
Absolutely.
But the other two companies, to my knowledge, one out of Las Vegas I have never heard of. The reason I say that, because just being out there in June, and Scott, you know, a longtime friend of mine, Scott Casey, lives there, and, of course, Nick Bockwinkel, and to my knowledge, as of June, there was no company running out of Vegas.
Maybe they're just starting.
But with the state athletic, let me say this real quick. With the state athletic laws, which, you know, there's a lot of boxing in the casinos, a lot of the martial, you know, the mixed martial arts stuff.
Right.
Okay. The overhead just to open your doors is phenomenal because of the medical regulations through the commission, because of the commission costs, because of cost upon cost upon cost. Anybody that ran when Scotty and Nick were training guys out there at a school for someone else, any time that it was a show run, it was a giveaway just to give the students something to do. You know, I mean, a chance to work in front of people.
And there was no chance of making money.
No, absolutely not. So... this one promotion, was it an adrenaline or something? I'm not even sure right now. But anyway, it was supposedly out of Vegas, unless somebody has just started something out there, which is very possible.
Yeah.
And then another promotion out of Texas, which, you know, but I'm just curious in terms of television production and you know, what these companies are going to bring to the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Before we get on with the news, I want to let everybody know that about our guest tonight. I always forget to say that at the top of the show, but we've got Davey Richards. He's the 2006 Super 8 tournament winner.
Yes. And we've lost my good friend Rosie, and how you lose a 400-pound guy is beyond my consciousness.
Right. We're going to keep trying. I have been trying to get a hold of Rosie all day.
Well, you know, as I said when we talked about last week, he lives 15 minutes from us,
mm-hmm.
Maybe less than that. And I haven't seen him since he got back from Japan, or, you know, they possibly could be visiting his wife's family, could be visiting his family. I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
but we have been unable to run him down at home. That's the gist of it.
So. Right. We will try during the show to call him at the normal time.
And if we don't get him this time, we will get him
at
some point in time. Davey Richards, I'll tell you, talk about rising young stars. I had the opportunity to work with this young man 3 days and down in Charlotte, North Carolina, back in May. Was very impressed with his work ethic, his the way he's put together, his mindset in the wrestling business, and, of course, you know, he started with winning the Super 8, and then this past weekend won the Battle of Los Angeles, which was a 2-day tournament. And in between has been pushed real hard by Gabe Sapolsky in Ring of Honor, and has been over in Europe. So talk about a catch a rising star.
Yeah, you could be seeing a lot of him on TV soon.
Yeah. He's got a future. There's no two ways about that.
Right.
No two ways about that. Angle and WWE seem to differ on how he left the company.
Right.
My personal opinion is I could care less how he left the company. It's just he's a great athlete, a great performer, and he's not a personal friend. I mean, I know Kurt. I've been introduced to Kurt. You know, we're not close in any way, shape, or form, but I certainly enjoy watching him, and I can only hope that he takes this for, you know, to time to get healed, get healthy, and, you know, come back and entertain us again. And lives a long, productive life and is able to play with his children and his grandchildren.
Absolutely. There's a lot of speculation going around on the Internet now that he may come back to wrestling when his non-complete clause is over.
Well, you know what? At his age and the way his body is broken down, I don't see him in MMA, UFC, or anything. I mean, I wouldn't say that, you know, with his mindset that he might not get. I just don't see it as a viable option. And I honestly believe that with TNA, with them, if I were in TNA, in the driver's seat of TNA, I would say, okay, I want to see what the doctors. You tell me, you show me some written proof from the doctor that you are 100%, you know, that you're healthy and we can do business if that's what you want to do.
Right.
But here's the other part too. Here's a guy that had a seven-figure downside, to the best of my knowledge, and he won't be getting that at TNA.
No.
So if it's about business, if it's about money, and at this level, it sure had better be.
Right.
it's not a hard thing to guess where he's going to end up if that's the case. So.
Absolutely. Sci-Fi Channel on Thursday announced it's going to keep its new hit program ECW on the network through at least till the end of 2007.
Yeah.
So that's good news for ECW. They didn't draw a very good rating last Tuesday. They actually did a final 1.9.
Okay.
Which was way down from the 2.3 the week before.
Ed, was there anything else going on television-wise that might have taken away from them?
Not that I know of, no. Except maybe celebrity duets.
Well, you know what? Let me say this. I watched Celebrity Duet. Now, I've read some very negative reports. I like the duck out of water concept. You know, somebody doing Cheech Marin, who I'm a big Cheech and Chong fan from back in the 60s and 70s. The kid that played Will Smith's cousin on...
Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah, on Fresh Prince.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like watching things like that. Anyway, let me say that Chris Jericho came across as professional, personable, glib, just straight up was great publicity for this business, for the professional. He and Stacy Keibler are the goodwill ambassadors, as far as I'm concerned, over the last 12 months for this business. And we need more of that. They're not selling characters. They're not pitching, pay-per-views. They're not talking about, I kick his butt or, anything like that. But they came across as professional entertainers, professional athletes, call it whatever you like. And I think our business needs more of that. So, the little girl that was a little Olympic girl, I think I figured between her and Chris that we're going to get knocked out of the box. The first time around, the first song was a ballad, and it certainly wasn't his style. But he and Peter Frampton kind of kicked butt on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, I thought.
Yeah.
And speaking of living in neighborhoods, Peter Frampton's not a neighbor of mine, but 15 minutes up into the upper echelons.
next door to Rosie.
society. I live on the other side of the tracks. That is true. Frampton lives here in Texas.
Frampton's 15 minutes on the... the other direction away from you and Rosie.
And several decimal points in terms of income.
Right.
Several decimal points in time it takes to get from my house to his. But, I thought Chris, accepted was very humorous and glib in going off the air, being the first guy out of the box, kicked out, and everything's just very professional, and I like him as a person anyway. I loved him when he and Benoit did the first film, and it blew the roof off the joint, and I loved him. He's a good guy. He's and like I say, he and Keith, I think, were the best goodwill ambassadors our business has had in the last 12 months.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to see Jericho go so early.
Yeah, I was too. But honestly, there were, Jay Rodriguez from... Clear Eye for the Straight Guy or whatever it is. I don't watch the program.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
I think he'd have to be one of the favorites. And, but I was surprised by some of them, came through for Lucy Lawless.
Yeah.
I wasn't a Xena fan either, but I could be. but anyway, it was fun to watch, I thought.
Speaking of Tuesdays, next week's ECW show on Sci-Fi is going to be taped from Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
That will take place on Monday night during the 9/11 show.
Yeah.
and then ECW is going to be taped afterwards.
Let's hope we don't do something.
So no, oh God, if Hassan comes back and he's like, I don't know.
Let me say that I fell asleep before Raw was over last night. I did watch Maria watch the paint dry, and I will agree from what I hear about Melena's press conference that it was like watching paint dry. So, you know what, though, Doc? They always say you can laugh at yourself.
Right.
You know? So I hope Melena took it as that thing. But you know what? I saw actually more in-ring product last night than I've seen on Raw in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Nitro and Hardy was better than I expected, quite frankly.
Really?
Yeah.
I read some bad reviews of that.
Huh?
I read some bad reviews of that match.
Well, I didn't say it was good. I said it was better than I expected.
Oh, well, okay, yeah.
You know? There were no 4 stars. The six person or intergender tag or whatever the hell you want to call it, I thought was entertaining, you know. It's just, you know, I don't know how far they can drag this DX and the McMahon family. Again, I don't want to see George Steinbrenner come in to hit against the hated Boston Red Sox for the Yankees. I'm not interested in seeing the owners of the ball clubs. I think this. I think from... what was it, Crime Time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if I'm correct in my in what I'm saying here, their press release on that on their website or wherever it was at for WWE said in the theme or in the vein of Saturday Night Live. So if we're calling it entertainment and comedy, then it's entertaining.
Yes.
If we're calling it professional wrestling, I ain't buying it.
And we broke the Crime Time news last week. We announced that WWE had a trademark on it. We never heard of it or what it was going to be. So
yeah,
see,
and
you pick up little things when you listen to the show.
And of course, that you know, if that's the way you're going to introduce these guys, then if they are heels, then you explain to me how they get heat.
Right.
If you put, you know what I'm saying, it's like bringing Laurel and Hardy out if you're old. If you know who Laurel and Hardy, or bring the Three Stooges out and try to turn them into heels.
Right.
It ain't work. You know, it's just and again. I'm not interested in seeing the owners of the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball go out and play ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're selling it as a shoot, as much respect as I have for Vince as a promoter and what he has done in making his company what it is, I still don't say a 60-year-old man doesn't beat a 35-year-old man.
No.
You know, I don't care what kind of shape he's in.
Right.
It ain't working. You know, and I'm just not excited about that. I'm sorry.
One more pay-per-view, and I think it'll be done.
Well, they said that the last pay-per-view.
Yes, we did.
In their defense, if that's what you call this, with the lack of talent right now, you know, or talent that's over, you know, there's not a lot of options, ways to go. But then there are guys here that could have been over if somebody took the time to get them over.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think Edge is the MVP for that company right now, and at least on that show, you know, he's carrying the ball, and I'm sure a lot of people on that show wouldn't want to hear that, but I honestly believe it, you know, because
yeah.
He's getting serious heat. He's not out there trying to be the cool heel and you know, get everybody to turn his way.
Absolutely. Another note about the 9/11 Raw show. After Raw goes off the air next week, the USA Network is going to be showing a preview of The Rock's new movie, Gridiron Gang.
Yeah.
So you got to stick around after Raw for that. And
while we're talking about product endorsements, I'm assuming from the reviews I've read of the TNA tapings, they're tied in with Jackass in some way. I didn't see the first Jackass. I won't see the second, nor the 42nd, okay? That's not my style of humor. It wasn't when I was your age, and it isn't now. But what I heard was distressing because then it started to turn TNA into a comedy show.
Yeah.
Did you read the reviews?
No.
Well, I guess from the first taping, Jerry Lynn walks in the locker room, and Jay Lethal and Dutt and Saban are watching television, and he's wondering why are they watching television, not preparing themselves for their matches. They said, we're watching Jackass and getting some ideas. So I think Saban wrestles... Shelly, on the first tape, and you guys in this chat room can turn your computers off if you don't want to hear the spoilers. And Dutt and Leaf will come out on the ramp with a grocery cart, and Divine comes out and harasses them, and they put him in the cart and shove him down the ramp. And then on the second taping, I forget who Saban is wrestling, and they come out and hit the guy in the crotch with a bowling ball for the finish.
Oh, my
God. And the next I want to see is the guy with the red nose and the Clarabelle the clown and the elephants and the Calliope and some circus peanuts, please.
Right.
It's, you know, when I say this, I want these guys to succeed. And I think just trying to be, you know, Doc, it's like this. If you come out with a song and I come out with the same song a year later, then even if I'm a better singer than you at best, as far as the general public is concerned, I'm covering your song.
Right.
Right? And to just do what WWE is doing is you're not going to better them. You're covering them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think they've got a lot of good athletes down there, and I think it would just, you know, cut back on some of the bumps and settle down and work professional wrestling. You know, I mean, there's a good middle ground there, and I think that's what they need to do.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to devise them some sort of vehicle, character-wise, to separate them.
Well, you know, they did the lie detector test, and my friend Jim, I know, I can tell you right now, I've known him too many years, this was not his idea. But anyway, Jarrett and the lie detector test proved that he wasn't in cahoots with Earl Hebner when Earl Hebner ran out there to interfere. So with that kind of logic, that means that Earl Hebner was rehired. And I'll give you a year to explain that to me and make logic out of that.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Because he wasn't. But, I mean, the point was he wasn't fired because of who he was in cahoots with or wasn't in cahoots with.
Right, he was fired because
of what he did.
Right.
Right? But since he wasn't in cahoots with Jared, it's okay to be an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wait a minute. Come on, guys. Take more time to put your stuff together. I mean, again, I don't know what ECW is going to look like tonight. They obviously are going to pick up some numbers due to DX being there and the handicap match with Show. But more importantly, the last 2 weeks, and it hasn't been the most exciting show I've ever seen, but it's made sense. And they've furthered storylines. They've furthered guys in terms of getting guys over. The pacing has been at a good middle ground where you can understand it and you have time to digest what just happened before they do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important. When I teach, when Dr. Tom teaches, when Harley teaches, to me, we are books. And we tell stories with our bodies and our facial expressions and what we do. We don't turn around and say, and here's why I did that, right? You can't take the time to explain it. But not unlike a book, if I give you a book and you just thumb through the pages as fast as you can, you're going to grasp a few words, and you may even grasp a little of the concept, but you certainly won't get the whole meat of the story.
Right.
And if you run through wrestling angle after wrestling angle after wrestling angle, whoa. I think that's one of the reasons that lucha in this country is not over only in the Latin communities, in the heavily populated Latin communities, because they grew up with it. They're accustomed to it. But it's like these guys don't sell anything, and they're into Move 42 before I figured out what the hell Move 40 or Move 3 was.
Right.
You know? And so there is no story to it. It's good athleticism a lot of times, and a lot of acrobatics, you know?
More news from the TNA tapings in the Don't Do This Stupid department. A fan jumped the rail and tried to jump Jeff Jarrett.
Well, they encouraged that by setting a mark up in a stick, is what they call it in the carnies, for Jarrett to hit with a chair,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, that goes back to WCW and the Monday Night Wars. I was, and I don't care if it's Kevin Nash or the biggest, baddest son of a gun in the business. I don't care if it's Brock Lesnar or Kurt Angle, whoever it is. And it's not can they take care of themselves or can't they. That's not the point. You set up some independent wrestlers from that area, whoever, to come over the rail. You have established you've planted a seed.
Mm-hmm.
Now some idiot with one too many beers is going to do the same thing.
Right.
You know, and I've been around the wrestling business too many years. They're not going to come out on the long end of that. We had Ole on. We talked about him getting knifed, right?
Right.
okay? And although he got knifed, and the only reason he hit the guy was in self-defense, and he could have died, he was the one who got sued.
Right.
You know, so it's just, again, it's, in the business we call it cheap heat.
Yeah.
Lazy heat. It's like, you know, it's not the sustaining thing. But, and again, it established a point here where, you know, the guy didn't get to Jarrett, but had he have, Jeff would have had to defend himself, right?
Of course.
So then where do you go from there?
Lawsuit.
Well, and it's you know, some young 14-year-old studs going to say, well, that Jeff's a badass. You know, he kicked his butt. Okay, cool. But but negative publicity in terms of the general public,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't want to take my kids to the TNA tapings because they're liable to get stomped on or hurt by one of these idiots that's trying to fight the wrestlers.
Right.
You know, so it's counterproductive. It momentarily it gets you that cheap pop, but long range is counterproductive, I'm afraid.
Yeah. More TNA news. According to a source in TNA, Jake the Snake Roberts actually called them to pitch a storyline idea where he would help a fan recover from a drug addiction. I don't know if you've heard this or
is
not.
Is this Without a Trace? Law and Order. What exactly?
This is
what does, if you would tell me what that has to do with prepare. Listen, Jake Roberts has got one of the most fertile minds I know of in this business, or has had at one point in time. I don't know what Jake. I saw Jake a year or so ago at the Wrestle Reunion in Tampa. I can see a value in Jake helping put as an agent putting matches together, possibly as a manager.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But that particular pitch, wow.
Yeah, I don't know how they took it though.
Well, I don't know either. I know how I'd take it.
Yeah, we know what you'd say, Les.
Well, you know what, and it's not, you know, that, and it's not that that's not a great, you know, if it's legit, that's, you know, if it legitimately has happened, then I could see using some of that publicity.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you know, like saying, okay, Jake Roberts, who works as a road agent in my company, moonlights at a rehab center, right?
Mm-hmm.
He kicked his own addictions, his own demons, and now he's helping others. Man, I see $1 million worth of good publicity for that.
And maybe, you know, have some footage, follow him around for a day.
I think there's certain things you don't work into angles, you know? And are you going out to the audience to say, is anyone out here addicted to hard drugs? and Doc's going to, yeah, I am. Have you got any? No, but we've got a guy who wants to help you kick the habit. Well, what if I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
but I mean,
it's a work.
Right.
And at that point, I don't see the value in it.
Right. TNA's moved their tapings for after Bound for Glory to Tuesday, October 24th.
Yeah, I think that's a logistics deal, you know.
Yeah.
Because they've got to, you know, they're going to be in Detroit on Sunday night. And to make that trip, it gives the guys a day to travel, get rested up. I mean, it's not that they couldn't make the jump, but to realize how many tapings they're going to do.
Right.
You know, the guys need to rest because the pay-per-view is going to run late on Sunday. I mean, they could catch the red eye on Monday morning, be down there, and then have most of them would be physically exhausted before the second taping, you know.
By Monday. Yeah. So maybe after, you know, the show after Bound for Glory, the Wrestling Weekly show, we can have, like, live updates of what's going on at the tapings. We'll keep calling Terry Taylor over and over.
Yeah, right. And,
be like,
and
Terry, what's going on?
And he doesn't keep hanging up on me. You call him. He's been a friend of mine too long. I'm not anxious to ruin the relationship.
Well, he doesn't like me that much anyway, so let's go for it.
I don't like you that much either.
Rob Van Dam and Sabu both plea bargained on Friday in Ohio Municipal Court as a result of the charges back in early July. Neither one's going to be serving jail time. Rob Van Dam pleaded guilty to speeding and possession of marijuana. His previous charge of possession of Vicodin was dropped because he did have a valid prescription.
Yeah.
And he did produce it. So he was fined $140. Sabu pleaded guilty to possession of a controlled substance, which was the 9 tablets he had with him.
What I understand what he had is used to stop what is commonly referred to in the bodybuilding business as bitch tit.
Right.
Where estrogen, the female estrogen, is drawn into the male's chest and the nipples.
Mm-hmm.
And I could name you a few wrestlers who have had the surgery to get rid of that. Or I can name you a lot of bodybuilders have the same thing. But when you're coming off of anabolics, you know, that will, if you come off too quickly, A lot of times that will be the negative reaction. And so that's what that drug is used to keep that from happening.
Right.
As far as the marijuana in this state, it is basically a traffic violation, $100 fine,
right,
and a ticket. You know, so that's pretty much standard procedure, unless
right.
you're carrying a few pounds or something.
And
know?
Sabu wasn't originally charged with possession of marijuana. He had possession of drug paraphernalia.
Yeah, he had a bomb.
He had a bomb with him.
And I'm thinking, why are you traveling? I mean. I understand, okay, you got a pipe or something, but a bong, for Christ's
sake. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was some kind of little bong. I mean, I'm not an expert on paraphernalia, but when you say bong, I'm looking at one of these big, awkward things that stands about a foot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway.
Who knows how.
Yeah.
Maybe he did have one of them, too. You never know. Sabu was sentenced to 10 days in jail. The term was suspended with $500 fine and additional court costs. Based on WWE policy, though, Sabu's guilty plea should come with mandatory suspension and maybe even a release, you know.
Well, obviously that's not the case. Well, I shouldn't say it's not the case or it isn't going to happen. It hasn't.
Right, and it's most likely not going to.
Well, you know, in defense of WWE or professional wrestling in general, a lot of those things, if you've ever seen the movie North Dallas 40?
No.
No, okay. Well, the book was written by a former wideout for the Dallas Cowboys by the name of Pete Gent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in the book, the number one quarterback for the Cowboys and the mythical wide receiver who was Gent, from all indications, writing about himself, and the quarterback would have been Don Meredith, okay, were seen smoking marijuana. And so Gent, or the wide receiver in the movie or the book, was penalized, and the name of the quarterback wasn't even brought up because he was more important to the team than the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Are there more than one set of rules in professional sports? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, if Peyton Manning gets caught doing the same thing that some practice squad guy is doing, practice squad guy is going to be made an example of, and Peyton Manning is going to be shoved under the table if at all possible.
Right.
I mean, not that that's right. I'm not saying that it's just the way it is.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to see Sabu still.
Yeah.
It should be noted, though, that... And we were speaking about this earlier, about being goodwill ambassadors to wrestling. Rob Van Dam, Sabu, not really goodwill ambassadors to wrestling when they were in the courtroom flipping off members of the media.
Yeah, I heard that. Well, you know, yeah, I'm not an advocate of that or a fan. You know, I think when you're out, especially when you're totally recognizable and you are representing not only yourself, your industry, but the company you work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was one of the things that I was always, you know, back in the day, there was always, you know, a chance of having to fight your way out of a club.
Right.
And it has happened. But I was always, you know, and I know other guys are the same way. They were always, you try to walk around that because, again, it's not going to come out as nothing positive is going to come out of it. You know,
right.
It's a last resort. If that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. But you try not to. And you know, that was uncalled for. Was the press here? Yes. And why were they there? Well, because you guys are high profile.
Right.
You know, it could have been Britney Spears or George Clooney, for God's sakes. You know.
Yeah, who've done their share of flipping off cameras, too. But
huh?
They've done their share of flipping off cameras,
now,
too.
You
but
know, here's the thing. It's different when they're coming out of a nightclub, you know, and doing something in their private life, and somebody's in their face with a flashbulb all the
right,
time.
Right, and they're trying to go grocery shopping.
Hey, you know, there's a certain point where I think that paparazzi, you know, needs to stay, you know, back off and not be such a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
But in this situation, that wasn't the case. I mean, the newspapers cover the courts, you know, if there are no wrestlers there, right?
Right.
I mean, if Charlie the Plumber down the street in the same situation, his name's going to end up in the court dockets in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's, you know, that was unprofessional, and I would say that, you know, I would agree with you on that.
Shame, shame, guys. Red Bastion, Steve Dr. Death Williams, Stu Hart, Kurt Hennig, and Dale Lewis are going to headline the class of 2006 George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Red who?
Red Bastion.
Bastine.
Bastine.
Yes.
I'm trying to get the pronunciation correct.
Yes, well, that's the correct. And Red is also the president of Cauliflower Alley Club, of which I'm a member of the board of directors.
In addition, the Frank Gotch Award is going to be given to Ted DiBiase.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
The inductions are going to be held at the new Dan Gable International Wrestling Institute and Museum in Waterloo, Iowa.
Yeah.
The museum had been located in Newton, Iowa, since its opening in 98,
yeah,
but it's moving to Waterloo in January. The inductions weekend is set for July 13th and 14th in Waterloo. It includes the Celebrity Golf Tournament on Friday at noon, a variety of other events. Continue to check the International Wrestling Institute and Museum website for updates.
My first impression of Waterloo, Iowa, when I went into the Kansas City Territory in 1963, Waterloo's TV was live at 11 o'clock at night on Sunday. So you had, wherever you wrestle on Saturday night, I forget where we wrestled on Saturday night, but we went into Waterloo, and we spent the day in Waterloo. There was the Blue Laws back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was open. I mean, not a movie theater, right?
Wow.
Nothing, man. And I'm thinking, okay, I should now count my fingers and my toes. There's still time to go to the TV station.
Right.
Well, I'm sure times have changed since, 40 years plus later.
Hopefully.
Yeah. That's something to see if you're up in the area. That's a nice little museum. Ted Allen built the first, they have a miniature ring that my old friend Ted Allen, who trained Arn Anderson, and Ray Traylor, and Scotty Riggs, as a matter of fact, built that ring for them. But, those guys will be inducted. Red was one of the first high flyers. He was, when he was with Lou Klein, who they wrestled as the Bass Team Brothers, and Ray Stevens wrestled with Roy Shires as the Shires Brothers in this area, back in the late 50s and early 60s, to watch them as a team, because Red and Ray were what would be considered high flyers at the time, and a lot of the stuff that that they did. Red was a tremendous smooth worker, but he wasn't a big guy, so he didn't get a lot of singles pushes, but yeah, he deserves the honor, that's for sure.
Yeah, the good old days.
Yes.
Let's run down the ratings real quick, and then we've got Davey Richards coming up for last Monday's Raw, which I believe was the 28th, August 28th. WWE, they were prepared for at least a 25% drop in the final rating because it was on Sci-Fi.
Right.
And the U.S. Open was on USA. But they did better than expected. They did a 3.3 with a 5.1. So it's not bad. As we said earlier, ECW on Sci-Fi last Tuesday drew a final 1.9. That's the lowest number ECW has drawn so far in its regular time slot on Sci-Fi.
Right.
Not good news. The September 1st edition of Friday Night SmackDown drew a 1.9 based on the overnight numbers. The final number is probably not even close to that, given how many major markets didn't air the show, and could possibly be the lowest rated episode ever.
Well, until the new network kicks in, it's going to be that way, because I've been reading, too, as you know, here in Cincinnati, the station where it's running up until the changeover is on a 2 a.m. Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere else it's on at 3 a.m. Sunday morning. So, you're either setting your VCR or DVR or whatever the case may be, or else you're just forgetting anything going on with your life. So it's kind of a lame duck at this point.
Right. And speaking of SmackDown, I guess according to reports in New York on Saturday, they had preempted SmackDown on Friday, but when they played it on Saturday, they only played 1 hour of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's UPN and WB, they're all a mess right now. And, we'll just have to wait for CW. That's coming in a few weeks.
Yeah.
So that's good news. At least for us. I don't know, unless you get WGN, I assume.
I do. Yes. Is that where I'm at to watch it?
That's where you will be watching CW. Yes.
Okay.
Because, I'm going to end up with two or three of them.
At this moment, the company that owns the CW network in Cincinnati, it has not cut a deal with Time Warner, which is the largest cable distributor in our city, which is the system I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
So, unless, as I've said before, in this area, unless you have digital capabilities, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get to see it. I don't know how many other areas that may be the case in. I don't know, but...
I don't know. We don't get UPN here. But when CW comes out, we'll have at least three stations now that will carry CW. So it's all weird, but it's just the way it works.
And TNA's numbers dropped on Thursday, but then I think a lot of that maybe to do with the Video Music Awards.
Yes, MTV had their Video Music Awards. Don't have a number right now.
I think it was 0.8.
0.8?
I believe it was, yes.
Let me check here really quickly.
Okay. I thought you'd be right on top of this, kid.
Yeah, I normally am, but for some reason I missed that, and TNA's going to be really mad at me for that. But
I'm sure you'll hear from them.
Yeah, they're gonna be calling soon. Boss Foreman's gonna be okay. Here it is. 0.8 with a 1.7. That's the same as the week before. But little note for those wondering: it says the Ultimate Fighter. That aired before TNA drew a 1.4. So.
Well, you know, I had heard, in talking to some people, I had heard that the powers that be down there when they had the Rhino-Samoa Joe match,
right?
That was, what, the 11:45 to midnight or 10:45 to 11 or whatever the hell it is, 11:45 to midnight,
mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm.
Eastern, didn't draw any good numbers, and they... were, you know, been out of shape about that.
Disappointed,
I don't know why that particular quarter hour would draw good numbers anyway.
I don't know. It's kind of late.
I think they found that when they've opened their show with the heavy hitters, they've got more out of it.
Yeah, that could be a new strategy to start trying again. Is opening the show with a good match, keep them interested, and keep them there.
I'm not sure what's down the road for these guys. Of course, we know that Goldberg is in a holding pattern talking to Spike.
Right.
Which means he's also talking to TNA. And again, I'm not a personal enemy of Bill Goldberg, nor a personal friend, just from a business standpoint. His talent is such, or his lack of experience of carrying a match himself is such, that if they put that kind of money out there, they put out for Sting, if he's willing to work for that kind of money, is they're going to sacrifice a lot of their people to get him over.
Right.
Because he's just not, you know, capable of getting himself over. And I'm not saying that as a slur or a knock. It's just the facts of life, you know. There's been a lot of guys on top in our business over the years that, you know, couldn't stand alone and draw money. You know, they had to have good people pushing them, you know, and working with them and making them look good. And I think he's one of those. Well, plus, when was the last time he actually laced up a pair of boots? 2 years ago or more?
About two years, right.
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, you know, you're the timing, sir, you know, a Ric Flair or a Chris Benoit or a Shawn Michaels with that kind of time off. I mean, when Benoit gets ready to come back now, he's going to have to, you know, his time will be off for a while. So a guy who isn't as mechanically skilled as these guys I just mentioned, he's going to have a lot tougher time, you know, trying to get timing. So anyway, I'd be curious to see how that goes down too.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Going to take a quick break right now, guys. When we come back, we've got Davey Richards. Hopefully, Rosie's going to be on the program a little bit later, so stick around. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young.
If not, I'll go up to his house and egg his car.
He should just run over there during the commercial break and be like, Rosie, answer the phone, wake up. He could be sleeping off jet lag. You never know. But anyway, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes makes them so different? Well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nadelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
The latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our special guest. He is going to be seeing a lot of this guy in the future. His name is Davey Richards. He is, of course, the 2006 Super 8 tournament winner, and that and a lot more. Davey, I want to thank you for being on the program, first off.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor.
Hey, Doc, I'm going to tell you what. I had a chance to work with Davey for three training sessions in May, and major impressed with his work ethic and his conditioning and his thirst to learn, man. And I think for all the young guys, that's so critical and so important. And as we were saying before we came on the air, and since that Super 8 win in April, man, it's been upward and onward to bigger and better things for you, young man.
Thank you, Les.
You just, well, let's start with this past weekend. You were in the Battle of Los Angeles. And
yes.
Quite a few top independent guys out there, and you came out on top in the two-day tournament.
Yeah, it was a big shock. I mean, yeah, like you said, like we had a whole slew of just awesome workers there. So to come out on top was definitely a big honor.
Now, explain kind of what the Battle of Los Angeles is like.
It's Pro Wrestling Guerrillas. That's their big tournament they hold. Last year was the first year, and that was a two-day tournament. This year was a three-day tournament. We had 16 guys, and this year they flew in guys from Dragon Gate and as well as the top indie guys from all over the country. And it's pretty much their biggest show and pretty much the biggest West Coast tournament there is. So, yeah, it's just a great show, and it's just going to keep getting bigger every year.
Excellent. You pretty much started, I would say, 2004 maybe?
Yes.
As far as your career, who were like your favorite wrestlers growing up, and like what kind of wrestling did you watch?
I really like Chris Benoit. I really really like Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy Smith. Pretty much all the Calgary guys. I try to pattern myself. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm anywhere near as good as they are, but that's what I aspire to be. Is like, you know, like Brett and Owen and Dynamite and Davey and Benoit, Lance Storm. I really like the Calgary guys. Like, I call them the Calgary guys. I mean, I know they're all from different parts, but all the guys that passed through Stampede at one point in time or another. And I really like the old NWA guys like Anderson and Flair and stuff. Just the old, you know, kind of tough in your face, beat me if you can kind of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. You grew up in Washington, so
yeah.
Stampede was probably on TV a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, Doc, what he does too, and like I say, with my chance to work with him, the neat thing is it was easy to work with him because he combines what we try to teach is a combination of current style with the old school stuff, and there's a middle ground. I mean, he'll do some bumps and stuff too, but his whole offense and his whole match is not built around, let's see how many goofy bumps we can get in the next 30 seconds. He does a lot of mat-based stuff. But it's you know, it looks good, it's solid, and it comes across as legit. And he's trying to suspend people's disbelief, not just go out and entertain himself. And I think that's the key to his success. One of the things I want to say is I know I love Gabe Sapolsky because I always tease him about being an old school booker in a lot of ways. But I think a great honor for you was to work with Kenta, right?
Oh yeah, tremendous. I'm a big Noah fan. Yeah, tremendous honor.
And now, aren't you, when they're coming back, don't you have aren't you another match with one of those guys? Is not Kent, or is somebody, is it Marufuji or somebody else?
I'm not, as of right now, scheduled to face Marufuji. I hope to, in the very, any Noah guy, but yeah, I'd love to face, Morishima or Marufuji, or Kent again, for that matter, but as of right now, I'm not, but hopefully that'll change.
That the thing with Kenta is the physicality of the Japanese style is a little different from our style here, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that's just the kind of style I love. Just like I said, the in-your-face kind of beat me if you can't wrestling.
Well, you know, back up to Jim Kentner's Super 8. First of all, I love Jim to death, and I know it's a great honor for to be invited to that thing. But when you found out that you were going to be the top dog, that must have been exciting for you, too.
Yeah, it took a minute to sink in, yeah. Just, Are you sure you're talking to the right guy? But yeah, it was like I said, just another like a big honor.
Yeah, and those were some three pretty heavy guys that you had to face as far as in talent. Scott Lost, Milano Collection AT, Charlie Haas in the finals.
Yeah, it was
tough night.
Oh man, yeah, it was really tough, especially facing Charlie in the finals because he's just a monster.
And then you went back like the next day, back to California. And did a tag team match.
Yep.
Wow.
You know, I know you're... are you still training some MMA style in Charlotte now?
Yes, yes. I train at a Royce Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Academy. I don't do fights, but I like to train just for the conditioning, just, you know, expand your mind and learn and stuff.
Yeah, I know a lot. I know a lot of the younger guys are doing that. I know Chad Collier and B.J. Whitmer were training up at what the hell's the guy's name up here by Dayton that lives up by. I'm hitting one of my senior moments. Anyway, they were doing it for the same reason. What I was going to ask you though, has that ever crossed your mind to do MMA?
I started out wanting to do MMA. I went to this school in Spokane, but the thing is like I have really bad knees, a really bad knee.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know if I could really, like, compete in MMA because, like, a lot of, like, the stuff requires you to bend, like shooting and stuff, like, requires you to get really low and stuff.
Right.
My knee just can't handle, like, I don't have a meniscus anymore, so I don't know if that makes any sense, but, like, I would like to, yes, but physically it's probably not going to happen.
But I like again the way you mix some of that. And I was telling somebody the other day about, I said, you know, if you went to a new country and just started training guys from scratch, because of the influence of MMA now, I said I think I would want to incorporate a little of that mat based stuff, you know, into the professional wrestling stuff because I think it draws the people in too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. I just, you know, because professional wrestling is supposed to be the best at just wrestling. You know, I think that's kind of been lost in, you know, in the gymnastics of wrestling, you know, and, like, just wrestling has been, you know, like, kind of taking a back seat, which is really sad because that's just the greatest thing, I think.
Yeah, you know, Doc, I'd like to mention, too, that if any young guys or aspiring young wrestlers are listening to this and to realize that Davey just started in 2004, basically, and he has come of this. Don't sit home and say, "Well, gee, that's great. I'll in 24 months, I'll be a top star." Wrong.
Right.
his rise has been meteoric. I mean, it really has, because this is a business that takes a while to learn. He's a quick learner. He's caught on. I was surprised the first night I worked with him, and then I said, "Well, how long have you been doing this?" Since 2004, and I thought, "Yeah, bullshit." But you know, I mean, really, he's a quick learner, and that's not going to happen with everybody. Take my word for it. But that's, you know, I know from myself in my early stages, first few years in the business, to be able to move up slower, and then finally work with guys that at one point I bought tickets to, or guys that I watched on, you know, on television or whatever. And of course, with you, probably a lot of these guys you've watched on tape. It must be exciting from that aspect, too, of thinking, well, gee, just a couple years ago, I was buying this guy's tapes, and now I'm trading holes with him.
Yeah, yeah, you hit it right on the head. Like, the face guys like Kenta and Loki and American Dragons, like, and Samoa Joe, like, all these guys are really big honors for me. So, yeah, and then, like, being able to, like, you know, get their thoughts and learn from them and then, you know, apply it to my wrestling is just, it's a gift. It's a great gift.
Yes. Yeah. Is Samoa Joe, would you say, one of the tougher opponents that you've had?
Yeah, Joe is just, you know, because he's so intimidating physically, I think people overlook just how great of a, like, just a wrestler he is. He's just, you know, like, as far as just the complete package. I mean, yeah, he hits hard and he has great, you know, mat skills, but just his storytelling, everything, and just how smart he is and learning and talking to him after the matches. He's just, I think he's definitely one of the best wrestlers, and I really look up to him.
You were in England for the Ring of Honor tour.
Yes.
Right? And so you had to see my boy Nigel and Danielson in that brutal son of a gun in Liverpool.
Oh, God.
I just saw clips, and I emailed Nigel and said, if you ever do it again, if it doesn't kill you, I will. I mean,
yeah, it was kind of surreal to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I say. You were there, saw it firsthand. Give me your impression of it.
Well, when I saw Nigel, like, early in the day, I could tell he was nervous because, like, it was, like, his home country.
Right.
And it was a big match. And I knew it was going to be a great match because they're both just incredible workers. And I knew, like, you know, it had that little extra something special because, you know, Nigel really had something to prove. And Brian always wants, you know, he's my kind of wrestler, you know. He always wants, you know, be the best, have the rest, you know, the best match on the card. So,
right.
But, you know, and it was a great match. And then all of a sudden, I hear this dinging, and I see Nigel's head bouncing off a metal pole, and he just comes back, and his head split open, and he's just, I thought he was knocked out. I mean, I thought he's, you know, I mean, like, it was, it changed from, wow, this is great, to, okay, so the concern, you know what I mean? I don't know if it makes any sense, but I'm just concerned
because I
brutally beat himself up.
I saw that lump on his, that golf ball on his forehead, and I thought, oh, my God.
Jeez.
You know, I mean, it was just, I was concerned, you know, because, I mean, I trained him, and my, you know, the kids I work with are my kids, you know. I feel like, you know, like there's part of their extended family, and I thought, oh, my God. I mean, I knew he wanted to make, you know, and he and I had talked about it before he went over. I said, I know you're going to want to make an impression because this is really a big thing for you to work with, you know, to unify the titles there in England and everything. But I thought, my God, this, do you need to really go this far to get this done?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my thoughts exactly. I mean, he's such a great wrestler. And then you can find Danielson is probably the best wrestler going right now. It's like, I think he just could have wrestled and, like, you know, I mean, it would have been off the charts. But, I mean, you got to give it up to him. I mean, you know, that's just dedication to your work. But maybe it's a little bit too much. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit
too much. I said, you know, I'm not going to tell you it wasn't exciting, but it was scary. And I would like to see you work again in your lifetime, you know, not be, you know, in a mental ward someplace, you know, sitting
yeah.
there, well, listen to the birds fly around and there are no birds.
Yeah.
Now, you spent most of your career in pro wrestling Gorilla. Now, from what I hear about pro wrestling Gorilla and read that it's a, it was a tiny little fed, you know, just started. And it became this big thing, like, nationwide. I don't know if this is true or not, but do you run in a rec hall?
We ran the Jewish Community Center, but they signed a deal with a gymnastics place, so we got kicked out. So now we're kind of homeless.
Ah.
we ran the Battle of Los Angeles in a, I believe it was a recreation hall, but I don't know if that's going to be a permanent thing. But, I mean, the six guys that own the company are really dedicated to it, because on the West Coast it's kind of scarce as far as wrestling goes, so they're really dedicated to it. So, I mean, PBG's in no danger of, you know, going out of business or anything like that. So, I mean, just, you know, they'll find a new home.
Right. I guess Entertainment Weekly did a story on Pro Wrestling Gorilla, I believe it was in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take a look at that?
I think I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
You weren't there when the reporters were there from the newspaper or the magazine, I mean.
I don't think I was there for that. I missed a couple shows because of Ring of Honor and stuff. That may have been one of the ones I missed.
Right. Ring of Honor's, you know, you've been getting into the storylines and getting a lot of Ring of Honor matches. Who in Ring of Honor haven't you faced yet that you'd like to face?
Bryan Danielson I'd like to face. Roderick Strong, one-on-one. Austin Aries. I'd like to face Nigel. Because he's like someone who I met Nigel a while back in San Francisco, and I've just always thought, man, this guy's so awesome. And I actually used to email him and bug him about him sending me tapes of his matches so I could study him and stuff. So I'd like to face Nigel. Really anyone. The thing with Ring of Honor is there's really no bad workers. It's just different styles. So, I mean, I think I could like wrestle and test myself and learn from everybody there.
Hey, speaking of tapes, you owe me.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I see my match, and I'm like, this is great, I'm going to send it to Celeste. And then, like, I'll see the match, I'm like, I don't want to send it to Celeste. I'm embarrassed. I'm still waiting for my big, great matches. I'm going to send my Kenta match, because I'll be proud of that.
Okay. That'll work.
Yeah, the Kenta match, it was Kenta versus yourself in Ring of Honor in early August, and they're calling it a match of the year candidate.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, me and him, we just kind of... really, all my Ring of Honor opponents, him, Jimmy Ray, we just kind of click, and it just, yeah, just good chemistry, you know?
Yeah, that's an amazing thing to do. Got some questions from the chat room. Chris the Crusher says, would you like to go to WWE or TNA, or are you happy in the indies right now?
I know this sounds really, like, you know, really generic, as I say, but I'm really not interested in going to WWE right now. Or TNA, for the simple fact, it's not that I don't enjoy their product, or obviously, you know, like, I'm not, it's not a long-term thing, but I just, with the exception of, like, I mean, like, I'd want to go to WWE just so I could, like, get beat up by Chris Benoit so I can learn from him every night, you know what I mean?
Right.
but as far as TNA, I know I'd be stuck in the X division. I really don't like, I respect the guys there.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because they're all amazing. I just don't like that style. Like Les said, I like to just wrestle and stuff. So, like, I know my size and my stature is very X-Division-ish. I'm not a heavyweight, I know that, but I don't like that style. So, I mean, really, I think the fans would be confused. I don't think they'd really know what to do with me. So I think it'd just be a big kind of, I don't know, on both sides, you know what I mean?
Would you say your style similar to that of Jamie Noble?
Well, hopefully one day when I get that good. That's what I'm shooting for.
Have you had the chance to work with Jamie at all?
No, and that was one of the biggest things. When he was on the indie scene, I wanted to work with him so bad just to learn from him, but I just missed him. Hopefully somewhere he's another guy I really look up to.
Yeah, Jamie, I had him for a year at my place, and we're talking about work ethic. He was like the Energizer Bunny, for God's sake. I mean, he was, you know, he never ran out of gas, bless his heart. I'll tell you what, I think with Davey Doc is that, he mentions his size, and he's not a huge guy. He's in great shape. And Benoit and Guerrero have broke that mold, as has Mysterio in WWE. And I would say give him two or three more years on the indies to make his mark. They're going to notice him whether he notices them or not. And I think on down. And Shawn Michaels, too, who's not a giant.
Right.
And
I think that, although they have the makings of a hell of a cruiserweight division with Jamie and Cash and Helms and that whole crew, they don't utilize it. And I honestly think that, you know, if you keep improving at the rate you've improved now, that it's, you know, a couple years down the road, you'll fit in there without the size being, an issue.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully it'll all work out. I like to do what, like, Malenko and, like, Guerrero and Benoit do. I wrestle all over the world and just learn.
Yeah.
That's my biggest thing right now, is just to get better as, like, a wrestler and stuff.
When you're working with Kenta and that associate, have you, is there any chance you're going to NOAH?
It sounds like the interest is there. The problem is they just debuted, like, five juniors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, NOAH and Ring of Honor, like, came up with a thing where I'm, like, his American protege. So hopefully it'll work. I mean, I would love to go to NOAH. That would be huge for me, but, I mean, it's obviously it's not my call.
Right.
But, I mean, if they offer, I'm going, so.
Well, you know, I know, this month out at Harley's in Eldon, Missouri, they're doing a NOAH camp, and Marufuji and Kenta and Segura, and I forget who all is going to be there. And it's a 5-day from the 19th through the 23rd. And
oh, wow.
This is the third year. The first year, I worked the camp with him. And I know Ken, and I couldn't pronounce his last name if you held a gun to my head, but the guy who handles all their travel rates and visas and all that sort of thing was telling me that the reason they run this camp is they're looking for good young American athletes to build long-term relationships with. It might.
Yeah, hopefully I'm one of them.
Yeah, I don't know how you're booked through the 19th or the 23rd, but you go to Harley's website, harleyrace.com, and all the info's there. And if you contact him, tell him that I sent you. And if you want, I'll call him. But I think it'd be
that would be great.
You know, I think it'd be worth your while to go out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that'd
be great.
Cool.
They need to go out and learn more too.
Yeah.
When you were in IWA Pinnacle, you wrestled for them a little bit up in Pinnacle, Washington. You wrestled Harry Bulldog Smith.
Yeah.
For the title. He did end up beating you, of course. But, tell us about Bulldog and what's he like in the ring, because we really haven't got to see him yet.
Harry is really, really good. I mean, he's huge. He was just a tower of a guy. I really honestly don't have anything bad to say about Harry Smith or his good buddy T.J. Wilson. They're both... I can't imagine why TJ's not in Ring of Honor, because, I mean, he's just awesome, too. Harry and TJ are just both great workers, and they're right up my alley, too, as far as their wrestling style goes. So, yeah, can't say enough good things about him. He'll definitely be, like, a major player in WWE.
Excellent. In the chat room, Myshak has a question. He says, who's been the most interesting personality you've met in the wrestling world?
Personality. Probably Loki, because I never thought he'd be like that in real life. He's just so serious and focused and intimidating in real life.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. He's obviously just beyond me.
I was surprised.
He talks like that, and, you know, I've known him like that in real life, but he really is that intense and that focused and that, you know, serious. I got him to laugh one time, though, but, yeah, he's definitely an interesting guy.
I didn't know he could do that.
Yeah, I didn't either. But
first time I met him, after watching the tapes and seeing him, you know, work and the personality he projects, I thought he'd probably call me out. But he said, "Nice to meet you, sir." And I thought, "Whoa, okay, we can go this way."
VNS in the chat room says, "What kind of influence did Super Dragon have over your career?"
Super Dragon he influenced me in a lot of ways. Just basically just. A lot of his influence is just confidence, you know, because I was like a nobody, and you know, he's the main player out there, and he kind of picked me to be his tag partner and stuff, and I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't know if I'm ready for this, and he's like, no, you know, I chose you for a reason, you know, and just having confidence, and he's had a really big influence, you know, on confidence, and you know, and that plays a big part when you're out there performing, you know.
Absolutely. Looking for some more questions from the chat room. So if you guys got any questions, just type them on in for Davey Richards. Moving on to, I guess you're pretty much with Ring of Honor right now. No plans for TNA, WWE. Are you going to be involved in this whole Ring of Honor CCW battle that's going on right now?
It's not looking like it. They kind of have their main players set up in that. I'm just kind of the young guy trying to work his way up, which is fine, you know, because, I mean, that's really what I am. You know, I'm just the new guy, kind of like, who the hell is this guy coming into our company? So, you know, I'm just content going out there every night and trying to have the best match and prove myself.
Any plans for the future? Where can we see you?
Really, plans for the future is just, I'm content where I'm at. Like, I'd like to go to Japan or Mexico or back to Europe and learn. I just get to the top of Ring of Honor and get to the top of, I guess I'm kind of at the top of PWG now, but get to the top of Ring of Honor and really prove myself there and finally send lesson tapes and I'll be happy.
Excellent. Check them out, guys, at www.davyrichards.com. Davey Richards, I want to thank you for being on the program.
Oh, thank you both.
Hey, you know, Davey, hang on till we break for commercial here, and I'll talk to you in a minute about this thing with Harley before you go.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, got some more news. Like I said, hopefully Rosie will be in the house a little bit later. And stick around. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm an ass man. Yeah. I love to love 'em. I love to kick 'em. I love to shove 'em. I love to stick 'em. Love to float 'em. I love to watch 'em. I love to pick 'em. And I'm gonna kick 'em. Yeah!
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name is Adam Nadelmi, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher back here with you, Wrestling Weekly. Well, Les, you know what? I'm tired today.
You're tired?
I'm very tired today.
Does that mean you've done physical labor, or you just...
No,
that means
not. My sleep pattern has been so messed up. I think I woke up, I took a nap, and I actually, I had to watch Raw later. I was going to get up, take a nap, get up and watch Raw. But I was just way too tired, so I stayed asleep. Got up at 10, 11 o'clock at night, stayed up till 6, 7, went back to sleep, got up at 11.
Wow,
so
that's
I'm just
early
like,
for you, right?
Yeah, so
yeah, that's middle, 11 a.m. is the middle of the night for you.
Yeah, it actually is. The
yeah,
sun's still out and everything.
You and Count Dracula have the same lifestyle.
Me and, what's his name, that vampire in ECW.
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin Thorne.
Yeah.
We just hang out together and drink blood and stuff. But, tonight after ECW, I'm going to bed.
Okay.
Can't take it.
I'll live with that. That'll be a first. Now somebody write that down on a calendar.
Doc is going to bed early.
Doc Young was not nocturnal on September the 5th.
Exactly. But, some crazy news this week, and it really doesn't have anything to do with wrestling, but I thought that it does bear mentioning that Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter, died the other day.
I don't know, man. He wrestles crocodiles. He's got more conies than I got. Crocodiles, big snakes. I don't even mess around with garden snakes, man. I never mind them big suckers.
It's kind
of... You know, I read about that today, and I guess it was just a freak thing.
Yeah.
That the stinger from the stingray went straight to his heart.
Yeah.
And normally, it's poisonous, and it can make you sick, but I guess guys have recovered from that.
Yeah, and it was something that wasn't, they're not really, predatory animals, you know? They're not really violent animals, and he just... It was just a big freak accident, and for him to wrestle crocodiles and alligators and, touch poisonous snakes and carry them around, to die like that, that's just ironic.
Yeah. I can't, for the life of me, here we go with my senior moments again. But back when I was doing the Southeastern Wrestling in Knoxville from 74 to 82, 81, whatever it was, anyway... we had the guy that was the hunter from Wild Kingdom, and for the life of me, I can't remember his name. He lived in Central Tennessee, and we had him on the show one time, and uh, he was you know, he was putting over the wrestlers, you know, about their daring do and amazing athletes. I said, yeah, well, I tell you right now, I can tell you a bunch of us aren't going to do what you do by handling those snakes and wrestling the crocs and everything, you know. Yeah, that's, well, 44 years old, left to a wife and two children. And, man, you know, I guess if you stick your neck out long enough times, the law of averages catch up with you.
Absolutely.
You know, and what where that does blend in with the professional wrestling is, you know, we were talking about Nigel and, you know, how he went out on a limb to have a good match. And here's Angle, who's a tremendous Olympic athlete and who wants to be the best ever but has just broken his body down trying to prove a point, right?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, that's... to me, that's sad. It probably falls on deaf ears. A young guy is 21, 22, 23, when a guy might say, well, you know, I'm enjoying my grandchildren and play with my grandchildren, and grandpa's doing goofy things, and they laugh. And well, how entertaining can that be? Well, it's very entertaining, quite frankly. And I want to see, you know, the young guy. Too many of the young athletes in our business, they look at the guys from our generation and say, well, you're jealous. Or something. No, you know, it's just, you know, you look at the guys that are, the bodies are broken down from our generation who didn't take the bumps that these guys are taking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your body can only deal with that for so long. You know, B.J. Whitmer, who we had on the show how long ago, whenever, I know he and I, the last time I saw him, the last couple times I've seen him at Ring of Honor shows, we've talked about his ankle. And he continued to work on that ankle, right? So
yeah.
Now he's had surgery finally. I mean, just not because he wanted to, but because he had to. And he's down 3 or 4 months. And now, you know, I haven't talked to him, but will that ankle be 100%? I don't know, you know. But doing it the old school way was tough enough on your body.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't take some of these bumps, and I understand they're entertaining to the fans. But I can tell you this, if you take any of the fans in the ring for 5 minutes and give them even a portion of those bumps in any way, shape, or form, they will understand why you shouldn't be taking them.
Right.
Very quickly, you know. And I don't care how good an athlete, I don't care if the guy's played pro football, I don't care if he's been a gymnast, I don't care what the hell he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Your body takes a hell of a punishment from what we do.
And that's a good question. I don't understand, like, most of the fans' mentality. Is it that, you know, these are trained professionals, so they're larger than life, and they can do these things and not get hurt, or do they just not care?
I think the mentality today is they really don't care. I think it comes down to where the fans are more concerned with the entertainment for their dollar, you know,
mm-hmm.
Than they are that, you know, it's a different time. It's a different mindset. I know years ago in the territories, when I went down with hepatitis in 72, right, and,
mm-hmm.
and was I didn't have to go in the hospital, but I was, you know, quarantined to home except for going straight to the doctor's office and from there straight home again every day to get my B12 shot. But I was down for 6 weeks, and I know some of the guys would come by and bring cookies from the fans in Roanoke, or somebody bring a card from somebody in Raleigh, or they were concerned, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, and I'm sure there are a few of those fans still around, but for the most part, it's like, oh, if you don't go out there and just kill yourself for me, then I don't like you. You know what? I told Nigel this. I said, you know what? I said, it's become too much the Christians and the Lions in the Roman Colosseum.
Yeah.
And here's the crazy thing. You know what? If you start taking care of yourself and the idiots don't appreciate it and they go away, guess what? A new group of fans will come that appreciate the art of what you do, and you won't have to subject yourself to wheelchairs and you know, rehab the rest of your life to prove a point. You know, this is an art, and you know, the acrobatics. Well, in her day, and that's one of the things that impressed me about Davy Richards, right? Is he wants to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that's what's on the marquee, right? And he's not interested in being an acrobat. Although he takes bumps, you know. But, again, you know, we're talking about Japan. There's big money over there for the good American talent. but it's not doing the goofy bumps.
Right.
You know, I mean, they take bumps, and but they're taken sparingly, and they mean something. It's not just bumps for the sake of bumps. You know, and I think that's one of the major problems today.
Yeah.
You know.
Ross Foreman from TNA put up some backstage notes from the tapings last night for the TNA tapings. And one of them was that Sanjay Dutt was running around backstage with a San Diego Padres hat. Even though he lives on the East Coast. And I guess he was telling everybody that the SD on the hat means Sanjay Dutt.
Okay. I'll live with that.
So that's just a little trivial thing that happened last night. Also, Christian Cage recovered a young cat from the engine area of a car parked at Universal Studios. It says when Cage and his wife went to their car in the afternoon, they heard a cat meowing, and they followed the trail to a car two doors away from theirs. He looked under the car and saw nothing, but then he slid under the car and saw this little kitten looking at him. I guess Gail Kim gave Cage some pieces of chicken, and they used that to lure the kitten out. And the car's owner arrived, and he had no clue whose kitten it was and didn't know that the cat had been riding in his car. Cage says he'll probably keep the kitten. He's got three at home, and he said he'll probably name the kitten Lexus. Because
but
that
you know
was
what?
The type of car was fun.
I like Jay better already. I've always liked him anyway. But I'm a cat lover too, and I've got two.
I have two also.
I have had cats all my life, and one my female is like 11 years old, and the male is 7, and we've had cats in our house since I was a little boy, and I had an old female that traveled with me the last few years I was on the road. I'd get in the U-Haul truck to move from Knoxville to Pensacola and Pensacola back to Knoxville and so on. She'd ride up on the dashboard of the U-Haul truck. She was as good a traveler as the old man was. But, that's cool. You know what? That's a side of the guys that a lot of people don't ever see.
Yeah, and when I was reading that earlier, I was thinking about what you had said about things like that and how they used to do it. And bring their personalities out, their real personalities.
Yeah. That was one of the things that we initiated in wrestling called Personality Profile in Knoxville in Southeastern Wrestling in 1975. And I had a lot of guys from my own generation, you can't do this. What do you mean I can't do it? But it's not like it was a fresh idea. It was fresh in wrestling, but I had been intrigued by watching halftime things like that with the NFL,
mm-hmm.
You know, where they had this big kick butt defensive lineman playing the violin or doing some, you know, making pottery, things that he normally, you know, that you wouldn't suspect him doing.
Right.
And again, it was like I was mentioning earlier about the celebrity duets. It's like the duck out of water thing, right?
Yeah.
And I knew Animal, or Road Warrior Animal, Joe Laurinaitis, used to coach his kids' peewee teams, right? And I always envisioned doing a special with them, the Road Warriors, you know, just annihilating opponents in the ring and then flashing to where Joe is talking softly to the young boys and showing them how to properly play ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just think the contrast is, I honestly think it pulls the, obviously now with Christian being sort of a heel down there, that's not necessarily something you'd pitch with him, right?
Right.
But still, it wouldn't hurt it. If you had a Samoa Joe as a babyface, and showed that he raised canaries, right?
Yeah.
Just another side of him. But it gives you something else to do. Well, hey, I'm a bird lover, too. But it's like this thing. Now, how many people that listen to this show might be like you and I and be cat lovers and say, hey, okay, Christian Cage is all right, man. He's into cats, too. I can dig that, right?
It's just another level to feel connected to your favorite wrestler.
Sure, absolutely.
I think it's a good idea, and I like the way Ross is doing this. This is a good idea.
I believe that, too. Yeah, that's pretty solid. You're talking about notes from the tapings and stuff like that. That's something, if you remember, when Raw went back to USA, they were pushing the .com thing to death,
right?
And they're not doing that anymore.
Mm-mm.
And I'm assuming part because it was counterproductive, or they weren't getting the results from it that they wanted, or whatever the case was. I'm not sure, but
I don't know. I watched it a couple times. I was interested in it, and but after a few weeks, I couldn't get in anymore.
Well, you know, to me, if I'm sitting watching a television show, no matter what that show is, then I'm not interested in operating my computer and, you know.
Yeah, well, I could see both from the same seat, so I could just turn around during the commercials and look at my computer and see what's going on. But I thought it was kind of a bold move to say, don't watch USA's commercials or our commercials, watch this.
Yeah. Well,
that's kind
of
odd.
Of course, this time around, where with Spike, they took in the commercial money.
Right.
With USA, they don't have that, so I guess they to a certain degree weren't concerned, but USA might have been and said, hey, excuse me.
Right, and the advertisers might have cared too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got to please both masters in that situation.
Yeah.
I know I had mentioned earlier tonight that, you know, about being involved in television programming in one capacity or another, but that was, and I keep going back to the Knoxville thing, which where I have probably the most control over programming in one shape or form that I ever had in any of the companies I work with. Because I created the show from scratch, the formatting and everything else. Ron Fuller just, you know, believed in me and said, hey, run with it, you know, and do what you think's right. But I was also the go-between station management and what we were putting on the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they might call me, you know, programming manager might call me and said, Les, got a little over the edge Saturday, you know, with this or that. And, well, okay, Pete, I understand what you're telling me. And I go back to Ron and say, hey, got to back off here a little bit, you know.
Right.
So you got to please everybody. That's there's no such thing. You got to realize that you're 1 hour or 2 hours in their entire week of programming. Well, you aren't indispensable. You can be replaced. There was somebody in that slot before you got there. There'll be somebody in that slot when you go.
Absolutely.
You know, and I don't care what kind of numbers you pull. If you become a pain in the rear end to work with, then at some point, they're not going to care about it.
Right.
So.
We're going to take a break right now, guys. When we come back, hopefully we're going to have our featured guest, Rosie. If not, we're going to have something fun for you guys. So stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. Cross your fingers. We'll be right back.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
There's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This my friend is ECW.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Jeez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a freaking bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our featured guest, former WWE superstar. You knew him as the superhero in training, and then he became a superhero. Rosie.
Hey.
I want to thank you for being on the program, man. It's an honor.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
If I slip and call him by his real name, please forgive me.
Oh, I'm sure it ain't nothing anybody from MySpace doesn't know him.
I bet you just got home yesterday from a tour of Japan, right?
Yeah, sure did.
You were getting to be a steady fixture over there for those guys, aren't you?
You know what? I feel like I'm doing pretty good. It's breath of fresh air, new company, new atmosphere, and a style of wrestling that I hadn't got to capitalize on too much here in the States. So it's working out for me double, and I think the office is happy with me. And from what I understand, you know, if you make two or three tours with All Japan, then somebody over there likes you. So
good, man. I'm happy for you. That's great.
Yeah, you get to do a whole different style.
Thank you. Well, yeah, it's just a little bit more back to basics, you know, a little bit more chain wrestling, not so geared towards a fixture, meaning you don't have to do. It's more sporty,
right?
I guess
opposed to entertainment or comedy or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's I kind of fell off of that, you know, working with WWE and stuff like that, you know, because God knows there's a lot of people you got to please in that company. So
right,
there's only two people I got to please over at All Japan, and that's the owner and me. So
heard that.
Are you still able to use Rosie on the road?
I kind of just switched up the spelling of the name. I kind of didn't really like Rosie at first, but then I kind of got used to it, and I liked the way it rolled off of people's tongue. So.
So now it's Rosie.
Yeah. R-O-Z or R-O-apostrophe-Z.
Are you wearing the mask over there?
No. I just go over there with a more of a three-minute warning type look.
Right.
With the jerseys and
cool
pants, but I just got recruited into a team called the Voodoo Murderers.
Oh.
So I'll be switching up the gear totally.
Who's the other members of that crew?
Well, you got Taru, which is the ring leader, as you would say, and there's a guy named Saijui Kondo, which is the junior heavyweight champion. He just won that from Kazu Hayashi here in our the last pay-per-view. You got a really big and talented one named Suwama, which he is looking to come over to the States, and I have talked with All Japan office, and I'm going to do my best to help him out because I think he's definitely he's got what it takes to make it over here in the States. And then you got a little light heavyweight named Brother Yashi. So it's pretty much a little team of five, including cool. me.
Doc, I want to tell you that he's talking about the different style, but he and his partner, Umaga.
Umaga.
Umaga. I can't say it like his manager says it. These guys were my red hot babyface team for almost a year.
As the Island Boys.
Yes.
Yeah.
And amazing. When they first came in, I thought, well, as big as they are, we've got to make them heels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the people weren't buying it. And so we went with the flow, and they did a hell of a job here for me for a year. And I want to say this about my friend Matty. He did nobody train any harder than this guy, and I could almost guarantee you that he was the first guy in my front door to train for the entire year he was here, because I was always the first one in the building, but I'd hear the front door swing, and I'd say, hey, Matty, I'm back in the office.
It
was Matty, because, I mean, that's just the work ethic that he brought to the table, and it was a kind of the work ethic. It was sort of pounded into him by his daddy, too.
Yeah, it worked out, too. You know, bless you. I want to thank you publicly, because it definitely wasn't working that way down in Memphis. And when we came up here, man, it sure was structured well enough, and you led the way into actually getting me on TV, and I do appreciate that.
Well, man, it was a pleasure, and I so, you know, I'm just so happy that you're doing good again and everything. You know, when we're talking about family, actually, besides your dad, and how many four family members do you have in this business?
Wow.
Ooh, that's a good question.
I can probably be safe to say that we're the biggest active wrestling family right now.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Let's try and get it from oldest to youngest. You got Samu, which is still active. You have Rikishi, which is active in Italy. You have me, which is active in Japan. Yamaga, WWE, obviously. Then we have L.A. Smooth, which is Samu's brother. He wrestles independents over in Northeast and in Germany. You have Afa Jr., the Samoan Storm, which is Afa, my uncle, the Wild Samoan's youngest son, which he is wrestling on his off time from playing football at Connecticut, University of Connecticut. But he started when he was about 16. And then we got the Tonga Kid, which wrestles various places. And we have a new cousin that's involved with Italy, the Italy promotion with Rikishi is my cousin Reno on Hawaii, which he goes by the Count of California.
And
from what I understand, he's created a pretty good character for himself over in Italy. So,
well, cool.
Excellent. A lot of people don't know, but you used to wrestle for ECW as the Samoan Gangster Party. You were Mac Daddy Kane.
Yeah, that was probably better categorized as a Samoan pajama gangster party. Oh Lord, that was pretty fun. I did enjoy that. Didn't enjoy the outfit, but I did enjoy the locker room and the atmosphere at the time. It was a good learning experience.
And you were in WWF back in '96 as with Jamal, of course, as the Samoan Gangsters, and you guys were stalking Fatu before and after his matches. But that kind of seemed to die out. What happened with that storyline?
Well, there's one correction on that. That was Samu.
Oh, Samu. I'm sorry.
I started wrestling in '95, middle of '95, so I basically was green as a golf course, except for the fact that I've just been around wrestling my whole life. And we got started, actually had our dark match in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Well, I should say Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And Vince liked the idea when Rikishi and Sammy had sat down with him, and my uncle had assured him that my lack of wrestling would be taken care of, being that I had an awesome wrestler like Sammy. I can't explain how helpful he was early, in my career. But I had only been wrestling in Puerto Rico for about 4 months. And I got the call from my uncle saying, hey, you got a dark match, so get ready. Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, to make a long story longer, there was some different opinions between Sammy and Vince and at the time. And Sammy had been there since he's 17 off and on. So he was a little bit more hip to the political side of the game and this and that, and when they saw fit not to do business with Sammy, I basically went with the package.
Right.
And back then I was pretty strong on staying with Sam on whatever endeavor he had and saw fit for us to do, simply because I really wanted that tag team to work out, because being he was the first son of Appa, me being the first son of Sika, that just made sense to me at the time. And then basically that's how it ran. It was a short four to five months, and we pretty much got our release. So,
right.
How old were you when your dad started training you, Matty?
I was 24.
So you actually started late in life.
Yeah, yeah, I sure did. I signed a scholarship out at the University of Hawaii out of high school. And through the years, my dad, you know very well, Les, that the schedule was very brutal back then.
Yes.
And there was months on end that I wouldn't see my dad. So, I was more geared towards sports at the time and happened to be pretty good at football and managed to sign myself a scholarship to University of Hawaii. And at that particular time in my life, I was gung-ho thinking the NFL was going to be my place of employment. Things happened. Things didn't work out. NFL didn't work out, and moved back home. And my dad was in Samoa at the time. And when he heard I wanted to start wrestling, he flew right back to Pensacola and started training in the backyard.
Excellent. Got some questions from the chat room. Rhode Island Red says, what did you like better, being a superhero in training or being part of 3-Minute Warning?
I liked both of them for two different reasons. One, 3-Minute Warning to me was the sensible team, and that was the next great tag team that the WWE could have produced. But I also loved Hurricane. I loved working the superhero thing because it was a different change of pace for me, being who my family is. We're pretty much typecasted.
Right.
That's how I was raised in the business, is a mean, nasty, chicken eating, fish eating Samoan. So that was a no-brainer. With the 3-Minute Warning twist, more of a hip hop style, that was pretty cool because that was my era. So. But I really love the superhero things for the things I got to do outside of the ring as well, with Make-A-Wish Foundation, kids being a lot more approachable, and that really tickled me, I guess.
Let me say something, Doc. If you could see this big guy with his little son, they used to come in my gym, and the son then was about 4,
yep.
And he'd dress up like Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
And jump off the second turnbuckle onto Daddy's belly.
God bless. Yeah, Jordan. Oh, yeah, we watched that tape not maybe a month ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Yeah, he still likes to get out to the ring, too.
Spuds wants to know if you were ever offered the Umaga gimmick or one similar to it.
No. No, that didn't pop up until... I think they had an idea for it, and but I'm not too sure. I never got any kind of – nobody ever really told me about it or anything like that, but when I did get my release papers, there was a Samoan-type name in there that I think kind of just me putting two and two together that might have been the case.
Might have been an early mock-up prototype.
Might have been something that they had already – licensed and was getting the ball rolling, but I had the smart idea of cutting all my hair off during Christmas break, and that I think might have killed it among other other things. So I don't know. It was never told to me, but I never asked.
Right. Another question. They said, do you have any good road stories about you and the hurricane?
Oh, not in particular. Me and Hurricane didn't travel together that much. I traveled with Stevie Richards and Kane simply because we were more geared towards the lifestyle on the road as being – I wasn't a very big go-outer type person. I'd much rather just get on the road, get to the hotel, and play some PlayStation.
Play some PlayStation, yeah.
That was geared more towards Kane and Stevie Richards' style, and so I didn't travel that often, maybe once or twice that me and Hurricane actually traveled together.
Yeah.
But that was the case with me and Jamal, too. You know, it's just two different lifestyles of people that you try and just fit in where you can. And when you meet good people and you meet people you're comfortable with, that's who you want to hang out with. So.
Right. Another question from the chat room. They said, can you explain how exactly you're related to Afa and Sika?
Sika's my dad, Afa's my uncle, which is my brother, my dad's brother. Rikishi's mother is my dad's sister. Yokozuna's father is my dad's brother. And Jamal is Rikishi's brother, Tonga Kid's Rikishi's brother.
Yeah.
And so forth.
Wow.
Then we're all tied into being cousins.
Right. Swax says, would you ever work for TNA?
I would not consider. I mean, yeah. If the right time came up, but to be quite honest with you, I'm very happy going over to Japan. I like getting back to the basics and the style that they present over there, and I think it's in my better interest to just work on my game over there for right now.
and it gives you a little more downtime with your family, too, doesn't it?
Well, that, too. It definitely does that. You know, I can, basically, in a nutshell, I can take a month off without having to actually worry about taking a month off, if you know what I mean.
Right. Shockage is in the chat room, and he's a fellow Samoan. He says, Talofa Lava.
Oh, yeah, Talofa Lava.
And he asks, did you want to keep the Island Boys name when you joined the WWF?
I didn't mind it. I thought it worked pretty well with me and Jamal. But then I didn't mind the hip-hop thing neither because I like hip-hop and it's become a pretty powerful thing in the entertainment business. So I wouldn't have minded either one. But to this day, I went back, did a match at HWA with the old chemo gimmick on. So.
Mm-hmm. JP says, how did you feel doing the Steve Austin JR spoof gimmick?
Ooh. I didn't mind it. I mean, we did a lot of things. That probably the only thing I didn't like through any of the WWE experience was beating up the midget and the girl. Well, not the girls, but the ladies.
The HLA girls?
Didn't mind that too much because she had a pretty heavy mouth on her. But, from what I understand, that's just the way she is. And, hey, you know, hopefully she's not too mad at us. But I didn't really like beating up Moolah and May.
Right.
You know? And that was solely for family purposes, which, you know, of course I let my wife know, don't let my son watch tonight.
Right. Boom Boom says, do you think since Jamal got called back to WWE that they might call you back in the future?
You know what? That's probably something I'll have to wait and see. I had been told upon release that, you know, 7-8 months, a year down the road, something might happen, but I can't worry about what happens, you know, a year from now. I got to worry about what happens today.
Right, absolutely.
If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, well, it was fun.
Yeah. Were you surprised to get your release?
Sort of. But I wasn't shocked. I mean, I've been around the entertainment business for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, you know, that there is a shelf life. And although it was pretty short for a WWE run, but that's the business. It's, you know, nothing's guaranteed. You know.
I have a question for you. Superhero in Training, SHIT, who came up with that?
Brian Gerwitz? Yeah.
Were you into that at first? I mean, was that funny to you?
I was nervous about it.
Yeah.
Because it didn't know nothing about it. Didn't, you know, all Vince told me was, wait till you see the outfit. And but then he also explained it to me, and I was also understanding that I wasn't getting that release call right after Jamal. So, you know, I always said I'd walk out in pink tutu if they asked me. So wearing the SHIT outfit wasn't a big shocker. And like anything, you know, it's if you love to do it, you're going to do whatever it takes to do it. So.
Absolutely. Shockage wants to know. I'm not gonna word it the way he did, but he says that The Rock and Samoa Joe pretty much broke the stereotype of savages, you know, as Samoans. He says, does it frustrate you that WWE have gone back 20 years by introducing Umaga? And could you please pronounce Umaga properly for the chat room?
Umaga.
Umaga. That's what I thought. But
when. Well, me and Jamal talk on a regular basis, and he called me up and pretty much explained the gimmick, but I still was having a little trouble figuring it out, you know, because he wasn't explaining it in detail.
Right.
But when I first saw it, yeah, at first I was like, well, you know, I'm looking at my dad with face paint, and I'm looking at Rikishi, you know, as Fatu with face paint and Samu. But once I kept watching, that's WWE, you know. That's what they do. They times it times 500, and not that I have any qualms with it. I think Umaga's doing a great job with it.
And I think you and I have talked about this before, too. I think they're pushing it the right way.
Well, it's definitely being used and utilized. And, you know, if there's anybody out there that could pull it off, it's definitely Jamal. He's got the athletic ability, and he's got a good head for the business.
Right. Eiler says, do you think now you're taking sort of a pay cut to be doing what you're doing now, but is it worth it to you that you get to spend more time with your family, or do you wish that you were used better and still in WWE?
Definitely used better and still in WWE, because I love working in front of an American crowd, and I love working in the United States. But sometimes you got to take a step back to make 10 steps forward, you know.
Absolutely.
That's just the way I feel about it and think towards it. You know, I've always been a survivor, and that's just the way it's going to work out either way, whether I make it work in Japan or make it work in WWE one day or TNA. It's going to work out either way it goes.
So where can we see you? Do you have a website or a MySpace or anything like that?
Yeah, you can basically just go to RO-Z. And should be able to pull up my page.
Excellent.
But that's pretty much about it. I actually got on that thing a month ago, and it's pretty neat. You know, get to meet a lot of interesting people.
Read some interesting comments.
Yeah, actually, all the comments. I got to give props to everybody that's even emailed me, you know, I kind of kept my comments private to where I got to approve them, but I hadn't had to deny any of them. And, you know, thanks to all you guys out there that, you know, the words you guys made, you know, comments towards me is very, very nice.
You know, Mama said to tell you we need to get together here pretty soon. We're headed out to Thursday. We're flying to Denver out doing a weekend camp with Dr. Tom for Sarge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wish I could go out there to do that. He actually gave me a call for a show, but I'll be in I was actually already booked.
But, yeah, when we get back, I'll give you a shout, and we'll have to hook up.
Well, we definitely got to get the barbecue fired up before snow gets here.
Yes, absolutely. We're definitely going to do that.
Well, we're running out of time, Rosie. I want to thank you for being on the program. It's been an honor to have you, of course.
Thank you very much.
And hopefully we can have you back again soon. You can have some more good news to tell us. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely.
Matty, I'll give you a shout when we get back from Denver.
All right, Les. You tell everybody we love them.
All right, sure will, man. Give the family my best.
I sure will.
Bye, buddy.
Talk to y'all later.
All right, thank you. Rosie here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to about wrap things up. We got to get out of here. For everybody on the East Coast, of course, enjoy ECW. For everybody else, the Irish Whip is coming up next here on the Wrestling Radio Network.
What we got next week, Doc?
Well, keep checking the website. We're going to have our guests up for next week.
If Doc remembers to book.
Doc will remember to book them.
Okay.
So keep checking the website, WrestlingWeekly.com. Also check out LesThatcher.com.
And of course, we're going to be in Denver this weekend. I want to real quickly, you heard us talking today, Richard, about Harley's camp. That's the 19th through the 23rd. Check it out at HarleyRace.com.
Excellent. Well, that's going to about wrap things up, so let's get out of here. We'll see you guys next Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Check it out, Wrestling Weekly. Bye-bye.